about the programming heard on The Dove. You can send them to thedove@thedove.us.
Well, today is the National Day of Prayer. It's a special time throughout the entire country, and there are some major events around the country, and of course the big one in Washington, D.C. on this National Day of Prayer. And Shirley Dobson is the chairperson of the National Day of Prayer Committee, but the honorary chairperson today and for this year is Johnny Erickson Tata. And she's very special. You hear her programs here on The Dove, her radio programs, and her television program on The Dove TV, and we are delighted to carry both. But she is certainly a spokesperson with great credibility and passion. Let me read to you this morning the prayer that she has written to be prayed this day on the National Day of Prayer. In fact, as we read it, let's let it be a prayer together. And Patrick Doyle's in the studio with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. I want your comments and all that.
Sure.
We're already getting prayer requests in. I'm trying to keep my stack separate here this morning. But let's just pray this together. Almighty God, you are our mighty fortress, our refuge, and the God in whom we place our trust. As our nation faces great distress and uncertainty, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to fall afresh upon your people. Convict us of sin and inflame us with a passion to pray for our land and its people. Grant the leaders of our country an awareness of their desperate need of wisdom and salvation in you until sin becomes a reproach to all and righteousness exalts this nation. Protect and defend us of our enemies, and may the cause of Christ always prevail in our schools, courts, homes, and churches. Lord God, send a spirit of revival, and may it begin in our hearts. Remember America, we pray. Remember the foundations on which our country was built. Remember the prayers of our nation's fathers and mothers, and do not forget us in our time of need. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen, on this National Day of Prayer. And Patrick, I know that you probably could preach a couple of sermons in a row, and I believe things happen when people pray. You know, there's something about, the Scripture says, confess one to another.
Yeah.
There's something about when you unload your vulnerability to somebody outside of yourself, and maybe even outside of your own circle of friends and influence.
Right.
But if you would trust us today to pray for you, in other words, you can say, Lord, I am by faith going to send the Dove this prayer request. And trust us to look at these. And I have a handful of them here this morning. And I'm looking at some of these requests, and I'm going, whoa. And this is the body of Christ is hurting like this. And so trust us to pray for you throughout this day. And we will. We'll be praying over these requests. I'll be praying over these requests. We want to pray for some of these here this morning. But your thoughts on prayer and how, as a counselor, how do you handle it?
So I find a lot of people come, and then when they talk to me, when they start talking about prayer, they get, I don't know, upset, nervous, guilty, ashamed. And I would like to take the word prayer and change it, just for the sake of the discussion.
Right.
Because prayer is really, you know, a communication with God, right? Prayer has a lot of religious, for some people, a lot of religious baggage to it. Okay, so I'm not talking about changing prayer. I'm just talking about, let's talk about it for, in the sense of let's communicate with God. So what's the most important part of our communication with God? Is it us letting him know what we feel? Is it us letting him know what our needs are? Is it us telling him where we're at? Or is it really us taking the risk of that, like you said? And then I think the most important part of prayer is hearing him. Because that's what I need. I'm clearly incapable of figuring out my situation, of knowing what to do. I'm not the omnipotent, omniscient one. I'm the one seeing through glass dimly. So one of the things that I think gets missed in our, particularly the busier we get, Perry, the less we want to wait. But waiting, I love how Eugene Peterson translates Psalm 40. The first verse says, I waited and I waited and I waited for God. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes how it is. Because here's the deal. God is in charge of revelation, not you. And he has his own timing, and he has his own reasons for that timing, because he knows everything. So waiting for him is a very important thing, and being able to hear what he's saying. And I liked what I think it was Ron that said it when you interviewed him about his book, The Prayer Dare. He said, it's not that God doesn't hear our prayers when we're in sin. It's that we don't want to pray them, and we don't think he cares because we feel guilty. Mm-hmm. But remember, because of the cross, the scripture says, as a result of that, you can go boldly into the throne room of grace without fear or hesitation.
You know, I remember my first week of Bible college. I was in shock that I would learn more than I thought I already had, you know.
Like you could learn something.
Well, you know, you go to church and you hear pastors and preachers and Sunday school classes, and then all of a sudden you realize, well, you think, well, I know God and I know the Bible.
Right.
First week of Bible college, I'm in about four classes, and I'm going, man alive. Oh, God's deep. So anyway, I think it was like the 3 or 4 days of the Bible college, one of the professors gets up and gives the structure of an effective prayer.
Uh-huh.
Number one, praise.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now think about this as a parent, if your children did this. Okay.
Right.
Number one, praise.
Yes.
Number two, repentance.
Yes.
Now, I mean, you got to come clean here.
Yes.
And repentance is everything. Go into the depths of your soul and get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then your appeal,
mm-hmm.
and then thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Those are the four elements of an effective prayer.
And like you'll find, if you start with talking to God about who he is,
mm-hmm.
how big, how glorious, how good, how powerful, how amazing he is, when you get to the place where you're starting to ask for your stuff, it seems a whole lot less important.
It certainly does.
And so, but it doesn't mean that his stuff's not important. Doesn't we have real needs?
But it's put into perspective.
Yes, exactly. So instead of it running you,
mm-hmm.
God is. And this is the ultimate thing. I heard a great theologian that I appreciate. He said, the best form of prayer is just a good feedback loop.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to God with your cares and your concerns because God has said, bring your cares and your concerns to me. Why? So that I can be, in charge of everything and capricious and over and lord it over you? No. It says, bring your cares and your concerns to me because I care for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing that I see that disconnects people all the time, is they really don't believe God cares.
So why do they pray?
Because they're desperate. And they've heard all this talk about God helping people and God doing stuff.
Yeah.
And like Ron said, when you start to see God actually answering things or involving himself, it is a profoundly humbling reality, which encourages you to serve him. And this is the thing. Humility is always the result of an encounter with God. If God speaks to you, it doesn't puff you up. It brings you down. It brings you into humility, recognizing that it's his severe mercy and severe grace that has allowed the actual reality for you to even talk to him. So the other thing I'd like to say to folks is that, look, God presents himself all the time as a father, mm-hmm. right? So he says we can cry Abba, Daddy. And this kind of intimacy is the thing that I long to see for my brothers and sisters, for people to have that kind of intimacy. Now, that kind of intimacy isn't a forget about who he is kind of intimacy where you don't recognize him as the God of the universe and the creator of light and, you know, the one who can destroy your soul. There's always that reality. But when you recognize that he, for whatever reason, has loved you and beyond what you can understand, that encourages you then to take the risk and go to him. So then we have this loop, right? So I look to him to have my needs met, not my circumstances to be arranged in a way that I like. And this is what I hear a lot of people praying, is they're praying to get their circumstances organized in a way that's appealing to them.
I'm getting some of these prayer requests in. I'm reading them now, Patrick. And some of the details of these are just unbelievable. Why does the scripture say...
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do. But that's what, you know, that's what you're anointed and called to do.
That's true.
I want Paulina to read a special prayer today. We talked about the Jesus prayer, which is perhaps one of the shortest, most powerful prayers. And she had an add-on prayer to that.
Yep.
But Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me.
That's right.
And if you take that prayer and, yeah, you can repeat it 100 times in 15 minutes. That certainly has its value. But as you begin to meditate on it,
yes,
and process what that prayer is packed full of,
right?
Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
mm-hmm,
have mercy on me, a sinner.
Yeah.
It's pretty...
we're getting right down to it now, aren't we?
It really does. Now, let me ask you this. Why does the scripture say it's the broken heart and the contrite spirit that moves the heart of God? Talk about the broken heart and the contrite spirit.
Well, the original sin was a sin of pride. God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat of that tree. I'm telling you, it's not what you need to do. It's bad for you. It'll hurt you. And Satan came along and said, surely you won't die.
Yeah.
You'll be all right. Don't believe him. You can be like him. Well, why would he not want you to be like him? So you want to be elevated. So our actual best, most holy, most usable place is a place of brokenness where we recognize without him, we are destitute, doomed for something we don't want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in that position, you understand your place most accurately and you become usable. It's not that God changes his view of you. He's perfect. He's holy. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't have bad days. He doesn't flip-flop. But we become in the place that we're created to be. We're in a place of humility and brokenness, a subject of the Creator, which is really what we are. We're his children. He made us. So being under his care and under us recognizing that without him, we don't have anything. We're doomed. Then we become grateful and useful. Wow, God, you love me, a broken, vile sinner. And that prayer of David in Psalm 51, you know, after his sin with Bathsheba.
Pray in me a clean heart.
Yeah, and he says, you know, a broken heart. I mean, bringing something to you, doing something for you, that's not what you're after. That's one of the things that David says. And that's one of the things we want to do is we want to look good so God will bless us. And the truth is, God's blessing doesn't have anything to do with how you look. It has to do with him. And he's the one who decides. But you being honest and broken before him is the best place you can be. I've said this a million times. The pinnacle of unhealthy religion is self-reliance and togetherness. The pinnacle of spiritual life is broken dependence. And I think healthy prayer leads me to broken dependence way more than it leads me to self-reliant.
I've been praying for a national contrition.
Good.
When you recognize how fortunate we are as sinners, while we were yet sinners, he died for us, and we sin every day, and I realize how we can't, you know, just about the time you think you got to figure it out, something happens, and then you realize you got to, you know, you're dependent on it again. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we don't figure that cycle out. But
the fall.
Okay, but... We're now at a point where where we need a national contrition. Mm-hmm. We have sinned as a nation. We've kicked God out of the classroom.
Right.
We've kicked him out of the courtroom. We've kicked him out of public life. We've mm-hmm. kicked him out. I've been told not to pray in public in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I disobey that.
I've had that same disobedience.
You know, we've come into a point now where Jesus Christ, the stumbling stone,
right,
is are we going to keep him in the center of our country as the God of this country? Even our president today in his proclamation said, no matter what God you serve, It does matter what God you serve, and it does matter what God is in control over America. Is it Jesus Christ, or is it foreign gods?
There's only one true God.
We're at this point. We're at an arguing point. We're at a crossroads. Whose God is the one true God, and are we going to be broken before him? But
right.
There's got to be a price tag in killing babies and kicking God out of public life.
Well, it starts with me. It starts with you. We're the church. It starts with Paulina. We have to have that contrition. We have to have that reality. And from there, it'll spread. And the problem I have with a lot of what we do is we try to do that in mass. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work.
Say that again.
It starts with me. I am the church. You are the church. Paulina's church. We have to have that kind of contrition. And from there, it'll spread. But we can't make a program out of it because it doesn't work that way.
See, I get that call all the time. People want us to do this and do that and have these big public gatherings.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I think all that has its place.
Sure.
But I think we're beyond that. We don't need another meeting. You know what I mean?
Well, we do, but it needs to be between you and him.
I understand that. I please don't. I'm not.
You having contrition before God is the meeting we need to have.
I don't want to be contradictive here because I do want you to go to the public gatherings today to pray. But we don't need the cameras there.
Right.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We just should come together as the body of Christ and pray. Let me take Roy and we'll come back. Hi, Roy.
Hi. I just got a statement, I guess, if you want to call it that, or a question, something of that sort. Monday, you were on there talking, and various people, you'd read some things about different things they'd said, and some of them were wishing that Osama bin Laden would wind up in hell and all this kind of stuff. And I just got thinking that over. You know, evidently, those people that have said that have never read their Bible. They don't know anything about what hell is all about, or they would never wish anyone would be there. If you read the scriptures, if I'm understanding it right anyway, hell is a place of absolute, total darkness, and you get into the plagues of Egypt, and you find out that darkness there was some dark that people gnawed their tongues in pain from the darkness. You go into 1 John, and it says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And you do the flip side of that, and you find out that Satan is darkness, and in him is no light at all. So if people wind up with Satan there in absolute, total darkness, they are alone. I'm sure you've heard it. I have a good many times of people talking, oh, I'll just go down to hell with all my buddies. We'll sit there and play cards and drink beer. No, it ain't going to be that way because it is absolute, total darkness. You will be alone. You won't be able to see anybody, feel anybody, talk to anybody. And the worst of that darkness is that God will not be there at all. Yeah. So people need to be careful how they're talking about wishing that so-and-so would go to hell or something else of this sort, because that's the... we should be doing it the other way around and praying for them that they would open their eyes and see the light and be in heaven with God, because God himself says, I'm not willing that any should perish. So why should we try to take over and be bigger than God and say, no, I don't want them to go to heaven. I want them to perish.
Yeah,
we need to be real careful on how we do those kinds of things.
Amen to that. Thank you, Roy.
Okay, have a good day.
You too. You know, that came up yesterday, Patrick. We were talking about so many of us were feeling uncomfortable about the rejoicing of the killing of Osama bin Laden. Don't get me wrong. I think it's wonderful he's been captured and he's now out of the picture. But Roy brings it up. We don't want to wish anybody to hell because hell is the devil's victory. So the vilest of sinners, the scripture says that the Lord is open to his prayers. And God is the ultimate person of justice.
Yes.
But I think we got to be careful here. I think he brings up a good point, because so often we just wish people, and vengeance is mine. I think there's a key to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, that means holy, is thy name. Thy kingdom come. The word kingdom there means rule and reign. So your rule and reign come. Thy will be done. Your perfect will in my life be done. How? On earth, how? As it's being done in heaven. How is his will being carried out in heaven? By his angels who are totally subservient to him. So if his will is going to be carried out on earth and in our life, we've got to be subservient to him. Give us this
That's
day.
Not very popular.
Yeah. Give us this day our daily bread. So manna came in the morning. It was only right. good for the day.
Right.
Next line. Forgive us of our trespasses. But then there's another line that really puts the twist to it.
Yeah.
It says, as we forgive those that trespass against mm-hmm. us. I think that the key to prayer is, have we forgiven those that have trespassed mm-hmm. against us? Mm-hmm. Have we gone before the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me? I am carrying aught in my heart. And then we go and take communion, and we're drinking the problems on top of everything else. Mm-hmm. Paulina?
If you can't forgive someone, next time you say the prayer, this prayer, instead of saying it the way it is, try saying it, and don't forgive me my trespasses, because I can't forgive. And see how that changes your attitude.
That's very well said. So, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Don't forgive me of my sin, of my trespasses, as I don't want to forgive those that trespass against me. That pretty much ends the prayer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let's got some coffee, I guess. But you know, the thing that I hear about that, in that, guys, is that, can I trust God for the justice? And that's really what it comes down to. You know, I'm to forgive, why? Because I want to? Not all the time. I'm to forgive because that's what God has asked me to do. And he said that he would provide that ability. But I want to tell you this, it doesn't always happen immediately. Sometimes it's a wrestling match with God to get to the place where I can forgive, where he grants it. Because I really believe it's something he grants more than something some flaming hoop I jump through. And so it's a wrestling match with me trusting God, which is the bottom line. And this is the thing that all humans struggle with. We have a fallen flesh that wants to be in charge, and God is clearly not going to stand for that. So the humility of being in the presence of God, and that's what I talked about when I started talking about waiting for God. And when God reveals himself to you, I'm guaranteeing you, you're going to change. You don't see any part of God remain the same. But here's what we do, is we stay busy and active and doing things like even reading the Bible and praying, which actually sometimes can prevent us from hearing.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah. Because sometimes we do it because we're on this activity thing. We're not doing it. I talk to people all the time, Perry, who read the scripture regularly, but they don't read it to see him. They read it and they're looking for a moral lesson. They're looking for the to-do list. They're looking for help. They're looking for something to share. They're looking for stuff other than God. The scripture is a revelation of God. That's what it is. He said, hey, you want to know who I am? Here, I wrote it down for you. It's his revelation of himself. And when you see him, your problems, your concerns, your issues find their proper place. And this is why when I talk to people all the time, I'm saying, look, don't read the scripture as a chore. If you love someone and someone's been insanely good to you, is it a chore to talk to them? Is it a chore to know them? Mm-hmm. No, it's a joy. You can't wait. And so, but if you don't know who he is, if you don't know what he's done, if you don't know your profound and drastic and severe need for him, those things start to lose their meaning.
Patrick Doyle's in the house along with Paulina. And Paulina, you read a prayer today after we talked to
Frederica.
And she wrote a book called The Jesus Prayer. The Jesus Prayer is a short, powerful prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Mm-hmm. Powerful prayer. And you may want to meditate on those few short words. That's a prayer you can put in your heart and say it any time. Go to the sanctuary of your heart and have a prayer meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But you read another prayer. You want to share that with us today?
Sure, I'd love to.
Okay.
Grant unto me, O Lord, that with peace of mind I may face all that this new day is to bring. Grant me grace to submit completely to thy holy will. For every hour of this day, guide and support me in all things. O Lord, whatsoever news I may receive during the day, teach me to accept it in peace and with confidence that everything is subject to thy holy will. Direct my thoughts and feelings, and in all unexpected occurrences, do not let me forget that all comes down from you. O Lord, teach me to behave sincerely and wisely toward each member of my family, neither embarrassing nor saddening anyone. Give me strength to endure the fatigue of the coming day and all the events that take place during it. O Lord, guide my will and teach me to pray, to hope, to repent, to believe, to love, to endure, and to forgive. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful prayer. All right, we want to take a few moments here and pray this morning. I have a handful. I think you were just given a bunch there, Patrick. And what
we
want to do is certainly don't mention any names and just kind of give the essence of it. But I want to say to those of you listening this morning, we're going to be doing this throughout the day, and I want you to just send us your prayer request, prayer@thedove.us, and we'll be praying for you today. I have a prayer request here for a medication issue. I have a prayer request here for an ongoing cancer treatment, and we've been praying for this one for a long time. We just need a breakthrough there. And we have a family relationship need for children to return back to Christ. I mean, if I read the details of some of these, it would rip your heart out. And we want to be praying for these today. Lord, I just ask today for these that I have mentioned, that you would open heaven's door and begin to respond and engage your power in the lives of these who are reaching out by faith by just sending a prayer request to us. And so we, Lord, are just being faithful to lift them to you and ask you that you would get this medication situation balanced. This person here who has been battling with cancer severely for a long time, Lord, thank you for doctors and hospitals and chemotherapy and surgeries and all of those things, but we're asking for your divine touch. And this mother who's crying out for her children, who seemingly have walked away from you, that you, Lord, would change their hearts and their circumstances and bring them back to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes.
I just wanted to encourage our listeners, when you hear Perry or Patrick talk about these needs and prayer requests, pray for those people.
Yes.
We need to pray for each other. And it's an amazing blessing when you pray for someone else. God really blesses you.
Amen. It certainly does. All right. Patrick, what do you got?
Well, this is just kind of amazing. Sue handed me a stack of, I don't know, 10 or 15 or so. And I want to take just one chunk of them, and I'll get to the other chunk. But I think we can pray pretty succinctly for the first five of those 10 were about parent-child, husband-wife
relationships.
Parent-child relationships, yeah. Addictions, divorce, kids walking away from the Lord, heroin addiction. So, I'd like to pray for those, and something near and dear to my heart. So, we'll pray for that first.
Okay.
So, Father, I'm grateful that it is on you that we can rely. I read these requests, and I know the deep heartache that's represented in these things, and how people love each other, and yet they're harmed by the people they love, and they see the people they love doing harm to themselves, and all of the angst and the anguish and the helplessness and the hopelessness that creates, humanly speaking, is very real. But beyond that, Father, you are good and gracious and powerful. And you are able to redeem and transform a life like no one else. And so, Father, for these requests that have been brought here, I pray, Father, for the people writing the requests who are feeling the weight of the fear and the anxiety of the outcome, that by your Holy Spirit, as you have promised, Father, you would send the Comforter to bring about comfort, that you would give them peace that passes understanding. And for those, Father, in the prayer requests that are out doing their thing, whatever that is, asking for a divorce, doing drugs, walking away, that also by your Spirit, Father, you would bring about conviction, that only you can, that you would bring those people in line with who you are and what you say, and that you would bring about a deep and profound repentance that is revealed in an altered life. For your glory and in the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.
On this National Day of Prayer. And Patrick, we also want to, we will in a minute here, but I also want to be mindful of the fact that our nation is at a crossroads.
Yes.
We're seeing a lot going on. And it seems like everything's been politicized, and you get so tired of the arguing and the bickering and the hammering and the lying and the cheating. And I mean, all of a sudden, you know, we are in a mess because man decided that he was smarter than God. And now we've learned that man is pretty dumb, and this is what you get when you turn away from God, right? You get a dollar that's worthless. You get an economy that's upside down and bankrupt. You get people that can't get along. You got a divorce rate through the sky, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
These are the smart
Preacher
guys.
Brother.
These are the smart ones. These are the ones that thought they were bigger than God.
Well,
you know, I was going through the Singapore airport last year, and I saw all these books from the guys that told me that this is how you do it to make it.
Right, right.
Now they got books on here's what went wrong. I said, well, you idiot. Why did you... I just laughed. I looked at all these, and these are supposed to be the smart guys.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, we are now suffering in a culture, and we are suffering in a world of people who thought they were smarter than God.
You ever read Proverbs 18:6 in the Message?
No.
Words of a fool starts fights. Do him a favor and gag him.
Wow. Wow.
Because see, that all that bickering and fighting, yeah, that doesn't lead us anywhere good. That's not what God called us to do.
Well, you know, I actually had somebody call me the other day and says, you know, why don't you guys disagree more? Why? Well, that's what all the other stations are doing. Can you learn anything from the bickering and the fighting that's going on in the media?
Yeah, I can learn how to get blood pressure medicine.
Well, there you go.
We disagree sometimes, but we do it respectfully, and
yeah,
we do it a lot of the time off the air.
Yeah, but...
We have a little pillow fight here and there.
Yeah, pillow fights, there we go, love fights.
Well, I'm a big fan of the Proverbs. Proverbs 20, quick-tempered leaders are like mad dogs. Cross them and they bite your head off.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
And when you look at the scripture, and it talks about... When it talks about what leadership should look like, mm-hmm, and you look at the qualifications for leadership, if we stuck to that for our political leaders, we'd be in a much better place.
Oh, yeah.
Because what you're talking about is people of character and people who have spiritual maturity. Mm-hmm. And that is not something that without that, there's no way to effectively lead. And so what we have is we have man's best attempt, man's wisdom, which is, you know, absolutely inadequate.
Well, this is the church's finest hour to lead. And anyway, this is the National Day of Prayer. I have one here for an unsaved husband, for a couple that's getting a divorce, and for a husband who needs medical attention, another massive need for a healing in a heart situation.
Mm-hmm.
This one is for a relative who is involved in homosexuality. A person looking for direction. You know, I think I don't know how, you're the counselor, you get more calls than I do, but it's amazing how many people are at a crossroads.
Crossroads are every day, I think.
Yeah. And this is for, you know, future direction, yeah, mm-hmm, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Lord, we lift these to you today, and I don't have to read the details because you know about them. In fact, your word says you know about our needs before we even ask.
Yeah.
But we have not because we ask not. Mm-hmm. And these folks who have emailed us this morning have stepped out by faith, and they're asking through the device of an email and entrusting us to lift these prayer requests to you, that you would begin to engage heaven in their behalf. And I pray for that, Lord. I pray that you would work with this couple that is seemingly splitting apart. You would work with this person who has slipped into a lifestyle that's contrary to your word. That you would be with this husband who needs medical attention. That you would grant that in a balance in all of his metabolism. And, Lord, we pray that you would intervene. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was thinking of... Psalm 91. He or she.
Right.
I love this psalm. dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. And surely He shall not think about it or have a committee meeting. He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. And He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall find and take refuge. And His truth shall be your shield and buckler, and you shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, awesome. Nor the arrows that fly by the day. You know, I mean, this goes on. It's just blessed because of you have made the because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, and nor shall any plague come to your dwelling.
Mm.
Pretty powerful.
Promises. So I have several more here. This group is about finances and businesses that are in trouble. One specific to a ministry in Africa. Husbands who are starting businesses. One who's got a business who's had his hours cut. So these are families who are struggling with the financial situations and issues. So I'd like to pray for that. So God, You promised to be our provider. And I pray that for my brothers and sisters involved in these circumstances, whether it be having their hours cut or they're starting a business or the ministry in Africa who has needs, we know that You are the God of all these needs. You have everything that's required. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that are in those circumstances that they would find themselves trusting You, not their plans, not the economy, but they would put their faith and their trust in You, much like George Mueller did, and just wait for Your provision and do what You put before them and see that You will provide and that You are indeed a good and glorious God. And then they will be in turn be able to give the testimony of Your provision. For Your glory, we ask these things in Jesus' name.
You know, there was a time this year that there was an effort to eliminate the National Day of Prayer. This is the 60th anniversary of the National Day of Prayer.
Really?
And there was move this year to rule it out. There were some folks that just wanted this completely, and they appealed it all the way to the Seventh Circuit.
Wow.
And the Seventh Circuit unanimously ruled in support of the National Day of Prayer. Now, may not have happened in the Ninth Circuit.
That's true.
But in the Seventh Circuit, it got through, and so it's been sustained. Paulina, you have another beautiful prayer you want to
yes.
share with us today. And
it's a prayer for acceptance of God's will, and I think we all need it. So, O Lord, I do not know what to ask of You. You alone know what are my true needs. You love me more than I myself know how to love. Help me to see my real needs, which are concealed from me. I do not dare to ask either for a cross or for consolation. I can only wait on You. Mm. My heart is open to You. Visit and help me for the sake of Your great mercy.
Mm.
Strike me and heal me. Cast me down and raise me up. I worship in silence Your holy will and Your unsearchable way. I offer myself as a sacrifice to You. I have no other desire than to fulfill Your will.
Mm.
Teach me to pray and pray You yourself in me.
Mm.
Amen.
Awesome.
You know, the scripture says, Patrick, that there is a fellowship. This is hard to get into your head, but there's a fellowship in suffering with Christ.
Yeah.
And so often when you're in the battle and everything's being stripped away from you, you don't see it as friendly, let alone fellowshipy, you know. But the scripture says, when it's worked, it's peaceable fruits of righteousness. When you've come through the other end, you wouldn't exchange anything for that experience. And when you're in the middle of it, you don't sense it and see it. That when you come through it, we've come through a couple of years where I know some friends, business acquaintances, that have lost everything.
Yeah.
They've lost their businesses. They've lost their homes. How many people have lost their homes in this season?
A ton.
And you are, I can't describe that gnawing feeling in your gut. When you go through a sacrifice like that.
Yeah.
Maybe you've lost a marriage. Maybe you've lost a child. I don't know. When these tests, life is hard.
Yep.
But somehow God gets you through them, and you walk out with another relationship that you didn't think would be possible with God. Is that the fellowship?
Well, yeah. I mean, who do you love the people most? Do you love people that you cry with more or the people you laugh with more? So when I'm in a deep and despairing place, the people who I can trust are the people who I have the most love for. And that's really what I think that's referring to in terms of the fellowship of his sufferings. When you are serving Christ, and I like what Paulina's prayer said, you know, you see my real needs. You see my real needs. I don't even know what they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't know. So as we put that trust in him and he responds to that, that brings about a deep fellowship. But it doesn't happen because I get everything I want. It doesn't happen because everything goes my way. And that is a myth about modern Christianity that I hope goes away, which is that, you know, this is not about God being the vending machine in the sky. Mm. And if you pray the right prayer, or you do the right things and you put in your quarter, you'll get out your blessing. The blessing is that he hasn't killed you. The blessing is that he has made a way for you to have intimacy with him. The veil in the temple was torn. You can walk boldly into the throne room of grace. But that's not on your good deeds. That's not on your good righteous life. That's on the cross of Christ. That's on his sacrifice, substitutionary sacrifice on your behalf. And when you start to live in the gratitude of that, those things about what I shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda start to fall away because you realize he's pretty awesome no matter what's happening.
Again, let me just say to our listeners throughout the day and on this National Day of Prayer, a couple of things I just want to remind you of. This is the National Day of Prayer, and we certainly want you to take time to pray for America. Boy, if there's ever a time as the church needs to fall on its face and say, God, forgive us and help us to be the salt and light. Salt penetrates the culture. Light exposes it. And we have a job to do, and the world is hurting. And we have the answer, and we can't conceal this light under a table and think it's going to do its intended work. It's got to get out in the open. Anyway, pray for America. Pray for Oregon. Pray for your city, your county, your community, your schools. Pray for your church. This is the day of prayer, but we want to pray for you. And sometimes it's hard to pray for others when you are so burdened. Let me encourage you to do something today. Take the deepest concern of your life, put it in an email and send it to us, and let us pray. Let us pick up that burden for you today. That will free you to pray for other
things. For someone else, yes.
For someone else. Mm-hmm. So trust us with your burden so that you can freely pray for someone. I bet this morning, I say, bet, man, that's what I should use that word. Let me challenge you.
$50.
You send us your deepest concerns. I'm pretty sure that the Lord will reveal to you who or what you should be praying for once that burden's off of you. You'd be surprised what will come to your mind, you'll be able to pray. So send us your prayer request at prayer@thedove.us, prayer@thedove.us, and we will pray for you. Wow. Any other thoughts, Mr. Counselor? Preacher, pastor, cool dude.
You know, I think the theme of recognizing God as the one who's in charge and that you're the needy one, when you do that, what frees you up. I say this all the time to people. If you want to be available to other people, you have to first have an intimacy with God yourself, because that's the sustaining reality. The sustaining reality isn't your knowledge. It isn't your anything external. It's the fact that he lives in you and you know him. So when you walk into a situation, you bring him with you. He's with you. It's not a thing you do. It's not something you put on people. It's not an act. It's a reality. And that doesn't come because you think about it. That comes because you take time, I think, every day to spend time recognizing who he is, the prayer that Paulina prayed, the scripture you read, it all reflects back to me recognizing him as God and me as his child who is in deep and profound need, not one day, not someday, every day.
I'm looking through these stacks of requests, and they're multiple, but there is also a theme showing up, at least for a little bit here this morning. And that is, in at least my stack, I don't know about your stack over there, Patrick, but my stack here, there's about four or five requests for family members who once knew God but have walked away from
it. I got the same thing, yeah.
And, boy, that's tough to process, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and again, remember, we are not in charge of the outcome. That's God's business. He'll take care of what he needs to take care of, how he's going to take care of it, when he's going to take care of it. And our job is to listen to him that we might be available in those relationships. But if I'm so focused on that person's outcome and I can't hear him, I'm not going to be very useful. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage people, your job is to be intimate with God. It's his job to take care of the outcome. And if you focus on you and him, the rest will go much better. And remember, you know, when your two-year-old wants to stick their finger in a light socket, do you explain to them electricity? No. You just protect them from being fried, right? And the reason why we don't explain electricity to a two-year-old is because they can't understand it. Mm-hmm. And the truth be told, God doesn't explain a lot of things because we can't understand it. He'll tell us what we need to know when we need to know it. Until then, your job is to be close to him. And when he wants to reveal something to you, he will. But it's not required for him to do his work. I mean, look at us sitting here. I mean, he's done his work in us, and, you know, he hasn't revealed everything yet. And he's going to continue to. Mm-hmm. He guarantees that he will not leave or forsake us. And I want to encourage people, as you pray, remember that. God's not going to run away. People in this world may abandon you. People in this world may hurt you. People in this world may walk away from the Lord, apparently. People in this world do all kinds of crazy things. There's tons of injustice in this world, but there's only one place where there's no injustice.
Amen. You want to pray for
that's in the arms of God.
I'll let you close in prayer this morning, and I want you to pray not only for America, but universally, if I can use that term, for all of these requests so
sure.
far that have come in.
Sure. Father, I recognize that you are good and that you are holy and that you are beautiful and that, Father, there's no doubt about the fact that you are worthy to be praised and honored and worshiped. And, Father, you are the God of the universe, and we are your children. We're grateful, Father, for the work of Christ and what he did on our behalf that allows us this privilege, the glory of being able to address you, the Holy One. So help us to understand the gravity of that reality, Father, that you've made possible. And for my brothers and sisters who are writing in requests now and who will for throughout the rest of the day, I pray, Father, for their souls to have you revealed to them, that you would convict of sin, that you would comfort, that you would confirm your truth, that you would give them a desire to be involved in your work and in what you're doing, not in their own. And I pray that for our leaders, Father, of this country, of our state, of our county, of our cities, that, Father, by the Holy Spirit, you would bring about conviction in their hearts, that you would reveal truth to them, that you would use them, as you've promised, to guide and to lead us, your people. And, Father, never let the government or anything else supersede our submission and our love for you. Let our love and our allegiance to you come first. And everything else comes second. And Father, we look forward to the good that you will bring because you have promised to be good and loving to us in spite of our sin. So help us to repent and to love you greatly. In your name I pray, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen.